What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are back. The final hour has arrived. It's been a busy one with Brian Kelly of LSU early on and so many other great guests. So we'll continue with more of your phone calls right now. And John is up next.
Hey, Paul. Enjoying the show today. Hey,
thank
just
you.
Real quick, I just wanted to say, I'm a regular caller, but I mean, you have such a unique and successful show. Do you ever see ESPN ever looking at maybe – like doing it with, you know, some other, I don't know, conference or something like that? And if they did, I just don't know if they could find the same success because of all the unique callers and the personalities that have called in the show. So I'm
John,
a long-time caller.
John,
I really
thank
love
you for,
it. I just don't see it ever happening.
Thank you for saying that. I think it would make too much sense to clone this show and do it elsewhere, don't you, Randy? You know, I don't have enough faith. This show, I don't think, will be replicated because I still think there are a lot of people that don't understand what we're doing here, and that includes some of the suits. What I mean by that is this is not a conventional show. Conventional ESPN shows are glossy, they're packaged, they got a bunch of people screaming. They go from this to that to that. This is a very unorthodox, fairly low-key operation, and I think most of the people who make decisions in television, I'm not sure we could get this show. If we sent a tape of this show right now to ESPN, do you think they would put it on the air? I don't think they would.
Nah. But I'll tell you, you run a successful show. I'm loving it. Like I said, long-time caller.
Thank you. Really enjoy it,
and I hope you keep going.
Thank you very, very much. I thank the people that call in and watched and listened to making this because it is unique, but it's not because of anything we do. It's really because of the interaction of the average fan. And I really do believe the average fan gets overlooked too often on sports. I'm a consumer of sports shows across the channels, and I know people watch these shows. I just wonder sometimes why they watch them. Let's talk to Mark, who is up next. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
Good afternoon.
Good. I just want to let you know, Jim is my favorite caller. I know he's very controversial, but when he called today and didn't understand what that guy from Myrtle Beach was talking about, I got sounded like he just left the local Klan meeting in Myrtle Beach. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't know. It certainly, I didn't think it was hard to understand, but you know, we have the advantage of hearing everything. Maybe he missed something, but I was fairly disturbed by that. I agree.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I've been a 20-year listener to you and love your show. Lashana Tova.
Lashana Tova to you, Mark. Thank you very, very much. That was Happy New Year for you non-Hebrew speaking people. Vance is up next in Georgia. Hello, Vance.
Hey, Paul. I don't know. Well, of course you wouldn't remember this. I mean, you get so many calls, but I've called twice. In the past several months ago, I brought this topic up that I think Jimbo Fisher is the biggest phony there is, and hearing this repetitive butt kicking on him has pretty much made my day. You know, the bad news is he'll walk away with enough money for three generations of his family to live on only if they're smarter than him.
Yeah, but you know, we all have jobs, and at some point, everyone always thinks, if this doesn't work out, will I have enough money to pay the rent, pay the house bill, and turn the lights on? You're $90 million goes a long way. I have no idea what his personal finances are, and I really don't care. That's what happens. There's no downside. And I think Blake Topmeyer made this point earlier. When you essentially make him the king of his own fiefdom with nobody to report to, you run into a tough situation when things don't go well.
Well, let's see how tough the Texans really are, because they're supposed to be reputed as pretty scrappy individuals, and we'll see what he does. I know he's not going to be gone this year, but I just think he sold them a bill of goods, and they bought it hook, line, and sinker. Enough of him real quick. I want to bring something else up.
Sure.
These fans, you know, I get it. Fan, fanatic, whatever. All of a sudden, and not everybody by no means, but a couple of callers, this excuse making for Georgia, we lost this. I don't understand the panic. They won the football game. You know, right now, nobody even cares about the 1-point victory of Alabama over Texas. It's over and done with. They won. Georgia won the game. I mean, are you supposed to destroy your opponent by 40 points a week to be worth a crap? Is that the way it is now? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that one of the toughest things in any medium is meeting the expectations of who you are and what you're expected to do. And it becomes very difficult. And that's why you hear all the, you know, the process-oriented and rat poison and all these cliches that we all get tired of hearing about. But they are young people. It doesn't matter whether they're young or professional. I mean, I watched the Green Bay Packers yesterday. He's a big favorite. Took a miraculous finish in overtime on the final play of overtime to win a game against a team that's really not very good. Because you're always fighting the expectations. And
that team, they also fielded 11 at a time.
They did,
the field,
and I think it was,
as did Missouri.
Yeah, I think it was easy to take Missouri for granted because everyone had seen the previous week's game, and I give Eli Drinkwitz tremendous kudos for having his team prepared and really putting them in a position to win a game. And the one thing that you miss out on is that Georgia had to come back under suffocating circumstances, and it won't matter.
And they did it.
Yeah, it doesn't make one bit of difference how many they won by. And I agree with you on that.
Yeah, they won the game. So let's just, you know, how many undefeated seasons has Nick Saban had? Two. And real quick, you made a slight mention to a previous caller about maybe Michigan will save you. Let me up it a little bit. By the grace of God, spare us from the Ohio State fans. Please, Lord, be so kind. Take care, Paul.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Wait, anyway, what am I hoping for? Is another call here. How about Jim is up next?
Yeah, you know, contrary to what you think, or contrary to our own opinion, I mean, you're in my relationship. I appreciate what Mark said. I assume he's a Jewish fella that made mention of Rosh Hashanah, right?
Yeah, I would think. I would think if you're, I mean, you don't have to be a Rosh Hashanah Torah.
No, you don't. I understand. Yeah, but you know, two and two sometimes adds up to four.
Usually,
you know,
when people use Hebrew phrases, they're either Jewish or they hang around a lot of Jewish people.
Are they catering and coddling up to you?
Or they speak the language, and if you speak Hebrew as a native language, good luck. It's a tough thing
right,
to do.
Right, exactly. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something, Paul. Just being honest with my sapient opinion.
Yeah.
He seemed to think I. He didn't. Did Mark say that I missed the meaning of the call from the guy, the moron, in my opinion, from Bob. Go ahead, Paul. You keep talking. I can't talk with you.
I was agreeing with you, Jim. Yes, I think he missed. He thinks you missed.
Okay. Well, he thought I missed it. Well, I somewhat missed it, but I want to say this to understand fully this show, and I-Man and Legion and a few others like that are perfect examples. You have to keep your mind in the gutter. I don't keep my mind in the gutter. I don't see color about football. I see ability. I see things like that. But I don't see color. You follow me?
Yes.
So if that was a racial call, yes, I missed it to some extent. But I thought about it after he hung up because it was just a stupid-ass call. Now, have you got anything to add to that?
No. And by the way, I didn't really think of it in those terms. I mean, you had to really get deep into the conversation, and I thought I understood it, but it's no big deal not to get it.
Well, I didn't get it. I mean, I got it after the call. I kind of got it. You know, I thought, well, that must be probably what he's talking about. But did you even see my email that I paid my full subscription for the email, and I don't see a response from you on that.
By the way, I didn't see your email.
Yeah, well, I sent it about an hour and a half ago.
Well, I don't mind telling you, I didn't get it. Let me check.
Well, I don't need to read.
Oh, my goodness. Jim, I don't know how to tell you this, but it is in my junk file. I kid you not.
Really? Well, you probably had some people on the board there that put it there, that did that job of making my email go there.
I am going to make sure that you are not ever in the junk file again.
All right, now will you answer it privately because you said you would?
I will.
Anyway, much to do about, well, maybe it isn't about nothing, but do you think I might have hit the nail on the head a little bit when I said your mind's got to be in the gutter to understand a lot of this show?
Well, yes, because I understand the show, and my mind is always in the gutter.
Your mind stays in the gutter.
Yeah, it lives in the gutter.
Absolutely, and that's why you have so many redneck fans and thugs that call the show. Can't help it, Paul. I'm just being honest.
Well, I hear you. Hey, well, Jim, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
And I'll be answering you as soon as your credit card runs and for your subscription service. Montgomery is our next stop.
Well, live from the capital city. Did he say I was in the gutter, Paul?
I think we're all in the gutter.
I think we're all in the gutter. And you know what? I may be in the gutter, Jim, but I'm not in that white van with a straitjacket. And when the doctor told you to stand up, he was going to check your temperature. He when he said bend over, he didn't mean open your mouth. He meant spread your cheeks. You know, Paul, I'm watching the Auburn game, and I tell you that game the other night kind of reminded me of a great movie, In Hunt of Yellow October. You know, we're all in this yellow submarine with the Yellowwood boys, and you know,
The Hunt for Yellow October, see, yeah, by
Yellowwood.
Tom Clancy, they don't, doesn't say, what's the name of that song? Even Clancy, what's the Buffalo Springfield song? Nowadays, well, Clancy can't even sing, yeah.
Yeah, and I tell you, if you go back, if you come up a little further than not Clancy, that's, you know, you go to Christie, and we are swimming in the Yellow River with the Yellowwood folks. I mean, it's, and you know, I can see that Coach Harson is pushing O'Yellowwood. He's pushing his hand towards that pin, kind of like Chris Rock in that New Jack City or whatever when they was in that room. It's calling me. It's calling me. And it's got a bunch of zeros. It's got 18 million zeros, you know. But anyhow, you know, I certainly am glad that the Alabama quarterback, you know, Bryce Young, is going to be okay, because it just worried me the daylights over the weekend. He could be a new caller and to your program and talk about what he was before he got hurt. But the difference is he would come in with a Heisman Trophy, a Dr. Pepper endorsement, a Nissan endorsement. He would have pictures. He would have friends call and say, I remember when you did this. I remember when you did that. Unlike the guy in the paddy wagon with the straight jacket and the thermometer in his ass. Have a good day.
We are back. We still have 45 minutes to go, assuming anybody is still watching.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here and more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Allison is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Allison.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Enjoy the show and appreciate you taking our questions.
Of course.
I am an Arkansas Razorbacks fan who married a Tennessee Volunteers fan. So admittingly, I'm still a little bit sore from the Alabama game this weekend. But I don't think anyone's asked this today. What do you think are the chances of Tennessee beating Alabama here in a couple weekends? And what about a playoff appearance? Just got to put it out there for my Vols guys here.
Yeah,
in the house.
Allison, I think they're moderately good right now. And I think some of it depends on Bryce Young. I don't think Alabama can win that game without Bryce Young. So
right.
The situation in Arkansas was totally different, but Tennessee's offensive prowess speaks for itself. You have to really hang with them, and I'm not sure Milroe is built to do that. So I think Bryce Young's health is the key to even understanding what could. Without that, I think Tennessee probably wins the game.
Well, okay. Well, my guys are kind of hoping that that's the case. But, you know, lots of kind of conflicting information out there, so just wanted to ask your take on it.
Well,
appreciate your information.
Thank you very much. I mean, I'm not an orthopedic surgeon, but I know a few. A shoulder sprain, especially in your throwing shoulders, is something you have to really be concerned about. You can shoot anybody up and numb the pain, but it still has an effect. And, you know, he's one of the most accurate passers I've ever seen, and he's already had a challenging time this year finding the right receivers because they're inexperienced, and you add one more element to that and it becomes a possible issue. Thank you for the call. Eric is in Georgia. You're on the air. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Paul. I called about Texas A&M, but I would like to comment on your comment about Georgia showing great resolve to come back in that game. I totally agree, because it was a heroic effort by Missouri, and their kicker, he was phenomenal, where those kicks from 50 yards kept putting Georgia down by two scores, not
right.
One. And very difficult for a team for three quarters of a football game to say, my God, we need two scores to catch up now. So my hat is off to Missouri, but my hat is also off to Georgia for coming back and winning that game.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the frustrating thing for Missouri is they should have won the game before. against Auburn, and it really would have had tremendous momentum. I don't know if that would make one bit of difference, but unfortunately for them, you look at it and look at this team and are going, wow, they got a bunch of losses, but they played extraordinarily well. And I agree. Thank you for the call. I think we all just get hung up with expectations of teams, and it is natural. Coaches have told me over the years that teams only play to their maximum level a handful of times a year. I mean, look at Alabama Saturday. They played brilliantly, and then all of a sudden, what happened? And then they come back. Can you play perfect four quarters? Probably not. If you play enough, you're going to be okay. Hey, thank you for the call. I called him this guy earlier. Remember Nick? I'm not really interested in what Nick has to say. I'm just trying to figure out where Nick was when we went to him a couple of minutes ago.
Paul Feinbaum.
Where were you, Nick, when I called on you?
Well, Paul, I was holding for you, but it got to be like it was like a minute before I know you had to go to your break and you had to guess. So
what do you think
guess who called me? Well, guess who called me? Hey, I know why you went to me, so you wouldn't have to give me about 30 seconds.
How'd you, I mean,
guess who called me?
Who called you?
Matt from Gainesville, a.k.a. Red Dog. You remember
Red Dog?
Matt?
Is he still around?
Yeah, Red Dog gave me a holler.
So you're talking to Red Dog instead of us?
Oh, sure.
You know,
well, I was holding for you, and then Red Dog called in, Fireball. Red Dog, your buddy Red Dog.
I don't appreciate Nick being two-timed by Red Dog.
I really don't.
And unfortunately, we're out of time, Nick, so we'll be back. We'll talk to you some other time. We're heading to a break. We have a long way to go. Actually, not that long. 35 minutes remaining, and we will talk to you in just a moment.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Jay is up next, calling from Alabama. Hello, Jay.
Paul, doing good.
Wonderful.
Hey, if you ain't laughing about I-Man's call a few minutes back, I tell you what, something's wrong. That was funny.
I-Man's become a comedian.
Well, look, he ought to quit his day job and go be a comedian, because I tell you what, that was funny.
Well, he's what is it? What are they? What's his title? He's a heating and air engineer.
Exactly, and I was a heating and air helper when I was younger.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I tell you what, that was a good call.
Can you imagine,
hey, LSU
you
fan,
on the
Paul,
TV
I called
and
you.
There's Jimmy Fallon. He's our first guest tonight. Is I-Man
yep,
from
there you
Montgomery,
go.
Alabama. He's starring in the new Comedy Central Netflix special.
Well, hey, he could be like they do on Fox. You could have him in when you and Laura start y'all new series.
I'm not ever talking to Laura again, so it doesn't matter.
I tell you what, that was a good show y'all had on Friday and on Saturday.
I had nightmares thinking about the damage she created in my life that day.
Well, as long as Miss Linda lets you sleep in the house, you're all right. So.
Yeah, fortunately, you know, there's some good news. So while we were doing this thing with Laura the other day, and I hated it, but my wife was, the satellite was out where we live because of the hurricane.
Right,
so
right.
She doesn't know anything about it. I pulled that one off, didn't I?
There you go.
Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, the satellite did, untold damage. And by the way, we just heard from a guy who said he just got his power back on in Florida. And I would think it's going to be a long time for some of the people down at Sanibel Beach and Fort Myers. Anyway, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Austin is in Virginia. Hello, Austin.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me. And I love the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm a long time Aggie, grew up in College Station, went to A&M Consolidated High School even. So I've been living with pulling defeat out of the jaws of victory for more than a few years. And I'm not going to make any excuses. It's football, and it's each day. But my bigger concern is how we've elevated all these high school kids and how – you can say this kid's the number one kid in the country, and then you have the number one recruiting class based on what? These kids haven't played in big series and big. It's all a shell game, and it's unfortunate because it creates. And I understand you have to create hype, but it also creates the letdown and all those things that everybody gets frustrated over.
Try not to make a big deal about it. But Texas A&M used that as their calling card, as you know.
Yeah, I know. And we've made a big mistake with all that. But my other part is with Jimbo. I think Jimbo, it may be time for Jimbo to take more of a bigger role and turn over offensive coordinator and turn over those things and just be the recruiter that apparently he can be.
He's a good recruiter.
So, yeah. So, there's no pride in letting go of that, Jimbo. I mean, all of our time passes by as we get older.
But Austin, I've watched this before. I remember watching it at Auburn a couple of years ago, where the boys in the back room came in and took the play calling away from Gus Malzahn. And
yeah.
And then it didn't work. So then he said, "I'm taking it over again." But remember, even if you bring in another play caller, he's the head coach. It is his decision to make. So I find all that rhetoric, and that's usually media talk when a coach is not really in trouble but needs to do something, is you start talking about bringing in new coordinators. Now, sometimes you bring in a creative mind who can change the landscape, but when you're an offensive coach as a head coach, it's not easy to defer that responsibility.
Hand over the reins. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been an unfortunate year for us, but we'll see what happens. I'm frustrated, but, for the longest time, I'll still be an Aggie, and I'm glad to be part of the SEC and what it's done for all of
our
other sports.
I will say, I'm sure Jimbo Fisher is reminding his team of this, that everyone a year ago was making the same mistake that we're making today. I'll never forget, we were supposed to go to College Station, and we detoured, and we were sitting there in Lexington last year joking about Jimbo Fisher and what the score was going to be that night against Alabama, and he pulled it off. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. I think, winning at Kyle Field and winning at Bryant Denny Stadium are two different things. But that is Jimbo Fisher's motivation this week. I can't think of too much else. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Roger is up next. Hello, Roger.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good deal. Hey, I was just going to call and say I think it's just about time to brown bag over at Kyle Field. I know earlier you had said that you thought that the Aggies could possibly win 8-4, go out 8-4 this season, or 7-5. Be honest with you, I only see them finishing up somewhere around 6-6. I only think they have a chance against the Gamecocks and maybe Auburn and UMass. What do you think?
I think A&M is. I'm not going to fall into the trap and write them off yet for this reason. They've got enormous talent on that team that by now, as we move past the first third of the season until the midpoint of the season in a week or two, they may start playing better. The question I have, though, and I'm talking mainly defense, I don't know what they're going to do on offense.
Yes.
I don't know how they just have to it's impossible for me to believe they can generate enough points to beat a really good team.
Yeah, I agree with your previous caller. I think that, Jimbo's probably going to have to give up the play calling or
Here's the one thing about Jimbo. Having just been out in Texas, I heard from a lot of my friends out there. They are all saying that next year was going to be the year.
You're right.
This year, were they overrated at number six in the country? I think that's obvious. But what's also going to happen here is, if this continues, and I'm making a value judgment on the 3rd of October, but if they lose a couple more games, Jimbo Fisher is going to be the most discussed coach in the offseason. He's going to be dealing with enormous pressure on one side. You'll hear the buyout number mentioned ad nauseum versus the expectations that this is now the year. That's not always a good combination of events. So, he can easily skate a bad season this year. He can't do it again. I don't care what the buyout is. Thanks for the call. Steve is in Arizona. Hello, Steve. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing
well. I'd like to talk to you about Auburn. I'd like to talk to you about Georgia.
Sure.
And the SEC championship. For us folks in Auburn, shout out to War Eagle, we used to lose it. You know, we go play, we have fun, we party, we get out, and we lose, but we don't like to. We do win every now and then. But I'm so sick and tired of the Georgia fans with the team and the caliber of players that they have that cry every time they get in a close game. All they want to do is start crying about and making excuses. Well, we had all these players go to the NFL. Alabama had players go to the NFL. Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas. Everybody has players go to the NFL. Georgia's overrated. Alabama, even before the quarterback got hurt, was overrated. And to tell you the truth, I've said it from the beginning of this year, I don't think Georgia or Alabama be an SEC championship. But we need a coach, and if they want to keep crying about their players, send them over to Auburn. We'll take them.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure that that message gets through down at Auburn. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's check in with Alan, who is up next. Hello, Alan.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, I want to go on the record and say, I don't know what you get paid, but, man, you don't get paid enough for your job, man. We appreciate you, man.
Alan, you've obviously been talking to my wife.
No, man, but really, serious, man, you're a good guy, man, and we love you on SEC Nation.
Thank you.
And I love to see your show, man, because you bring entertainment and you bring a lot of information for us, and we appreciate you, Paul.
Thanks so much.
And believe it or not, you already answered my question when you discussed that about Jimbo Fisher, because I was going to ask you what do you think about next year, and you answered it. So thanks a lot, man.
Thank you very much. You know what I really admire about that guy, Randy? A lot of times a guy will say, I was going to ask you this. Let me go ahead and ask you anyway, even though you just answered. That guy very eloquently explained that I'd answered his question. Before, after he asked me whether I was paid enough. And for the record, are you paid enough?
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Well, we will see about that, Randy.
I appreciate it.
Do you have a boss here?
No, but I need a buyout.
Would you take an $85 million buyout if I told you this was your last show?
I'm done.
I'll take an $85 buyout. We'll take a break. We still have a few minutes remaining.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Cheerleader is up next.
Hey, Paul, it's been a while. Thanks for taking my call, man.
I miss you, Cheerleader.
Hey, I've been missing you, and these weekends, the last two weekends, have been electric, and the SEC Nation, and Friday afternoon, and Saturday morning, they are just out of this world. Paul, I've just gotten where I don't like Jimbo Fisher.
I mean, what can I do to convince you that he's really a decent...
You can't.
Honest.
I think he's arrogant, and he's just...
How could you
played
say
on
that?
The media, and because that's what he is, and you know it. And his buyout is so big. I don't know that I'm not saying
how
anybody's letting him go. Is it $97 million?
I think it's only 85 or 90 million. I can't remember.
Well, I'm telling you, that's illegal.
You have to give the athletic director there a lot of credit for being such a shrewd negotiator.
Oh, yeah, such a shrewd one. That is ridiculous. And nobody's worth that.
We got the best coach in the country, and we're going to pay him, and we're going to make it impossible for us to fire him.
Well, our coach Saban is not going to leave if you're talking about the best coach.
Oh,
he is not leaving because he won't. Yeah, I don't know who you're talking about, but I sure have loved all the weekends. But I wish when y'all were at Ole Miss, I wanted some of that food from those tailgate parties.
Yeah, I tell you what, that was some crazy scene in the Grove the other day. I mean, there were so many people.
I mean, it was just rocking. And Paul, I want you to do something real funny.
What's that?
I want you to see if you can even put on Laura's shoes. Have you ever seen such high heels?
I will try to wear her shoes before the end of the year. How about that?
Okay.
A man in high heels.
They are, yeah. Hey, I've seen it. I've seen
that's
it.
Like some politician they caught in the wrong hotel room.
I think they did. But listen, Roll Tide, and I'm proud of Mississippi State. I'm proud of Ole Miss. And I'm just wish, you know, that Arkansas could win, too, because I'm loving them.
I'm just proud to be an American. Thank you, Cheerleader. Hastings is up next.
Hey, Paul, I'll make this relatively quick. I know we're running short on time, but there are some things that I noticed that one of the greatest coaches of all times, one coach in his coaching tree that poked fun at him a little bit earlier in the year about rebuilding your comments, excuses. Seems like he maybe took a little bit of olive branch from that tree and is starting to use it himself, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. In fact, it's actually really funny because he sits there and he wants to complain about, you know, next year's our year, next year's our year, next year's our year. I've been hearing that for about 3 or 4 years now. And it seems like just when he pulls the number one recruiting class and gets a lot of media attention on himself, his program seems to be somewhat in shambles. So, you know, I hope Jimbo Fisher is taking a look and taking a step back and be like, maybe those excuses I learned from Nick Saban are a good thing, because 8-4 seasons at Texas A&M is going to frustrate a lot of old barons out there. And I'm with you, Paul. I think that you got next year, but if you don't continue to improve and actually see some success on the field rather than in your press conferences, he's going to be in bad shape. So, hey, appreciate you taking my call, Paul. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks.
Well, thank you. The thing about Jimbo Fisher that I think we've all learned is he handles criticism very well. We saw that in the press conference the day after the Saban attack. So he will be something to watch if he can't get this thing turned around. You know he's going to be well. He's going to be all over it. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Lance, who is up next. Hello, Lance.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Great, thank you.
I will. Hey, so my question, Paul, I know Jimbo Fisher has been – I'm an Aggies fan, by the way.
Sure.
You know, I know Jimbo Fisher has been catching a lot of flack about what's been going on at the A&M program. But my question to you is, do you think that it may be a good idea to maybe go ahead and start the freshman, because you've seen the quarterback play has been the issue with A&M. I think that do you just go with the freshman and get a new start and see how that pans out, since you have a lot of young guys playing for you now and it's a relatively young team? What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think we know what Max Johnson's capable of. It's very limited. Haynes King has been a significant disappointment. So it's not like freshmen can't play. I mean, we see that happen all the time. So if this guy is as good as they say, do you know what the secret to playing a freshman is? You calm everyone down, and everyone says, man, he's raw, he's talented, but can't wait till next year.
Yeah.
Now, Jimbo Fisher, depending on what happens Saturday night, what I mean by that is the final score, not the result. He has to figure out that this year is a lost cause, because at A&M, once you lose three games, there's really nothing left. This is not a program built on trying to get to a good bowl game. This is a program built on playing for a title. And, you know, I mean, Jimbo's a good enough salesman. I mean, this guy could run for president the way he shovels it. And, you know, he's got to start selling on the future, even though next year will only be his sixth year in Aggie land.
Right. Hey, I definitely appreciate you taking my call, Paul.
Lance,
and have a wonderful day.
You have just given Jimbo Fisher a life raft. He's going to thank you for this phone call, because now he'll have a new message. He'll probably be running commercials tomorrow talking about the future with a freshman quarterback. We're out of time. It's been an amazing show. We had Brian Kelly early on, really great conversation with him as the Tigers get ready for the Vols Saturday morning. We are done. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.